Samuel chapter number 2, and we're going to see what the Lord has for us on this glorious afternoon. That's 2 Samuel chapter number 2, and we're going to read verses 8 down through verse number 9. Once you get there, let's all stand, and we'll read together, we'll pray together, and we'll trust God together. That's 2 Samuel chapter number 2 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim, and made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and reigned 2 years, but the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. We're going to talk today on this little thought, opposition. Opposition. Father, I pray today for your divine help. I pray, God, for your guidance, and Master, if there's anything that would hinder you from using my vessel on this Sunday afternoon, I pray, God, that you'd not only forgive me, but I pray, God, you'd cleanse me. I pray, God, you'd wash me, and I pray, God, that you'd use me for your honor and for your glory. And I pray, God, that you take the words from the Word of God, and I pray, God, you'd place them into our minds. And I pray, God, that it would seep down into our hearts and then be enacted in our life. And for that, God, will praise you. I pray, God, you challenge us, change us, and do inside of us what needs to be done. And with that, God, will praise you. I pray, God, for that one who's overwhelmed by their family situation, that one who's overwhelmed by their marital condition, that one, God, who's overwhelmed by what's happening on the job, what's happening at the school, what's happening around them. I pray, God, that today you're bringing some stability of thought. I pray, God, that you relieve us of the pressures the attacks that the enemy is throwing in our heads. And that, God, will thank you. I pray, God, for that soul that might be among us who's not saved but bought, born again and redeemed. But I pray, God, that this morning they receive Jesus and their names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that, God, will praise you. God, help somebody, because somebody needs your help this morning. And for that, God, will thank you. Lord, bless those who are watching and those who will watch later. I pray, God, that they would embrace the precious word. Then share it with somebody else. And with that, God will thank you too. And God, when it's all said and done, when we prayed our last prayer in this building and we've driven off down the street, I pray God we'd be able to say with one accord, "My, how good it has been to be in the house of God, to worship, to exalt your name, and get food and strength for the soul." And with that, God will praise you. And then, Lord, if there's anything else that I've left out, I pray, God, you meet that need as well. For it's in your son's name we pray. Not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen and hallelujah. You may be seated. Opposition. Nobody, no one wants opposition. No one enjoys opposition when opposition comes by and knocks on the doors of their house. But if you and I realize that we are living and breathing in a world that oftentimes is full of opposition, especially when you're trying to serve a living God, when you're trying to follow the program that God has set out for you and I to follow, there's going to be opposition. When you try to get right with God, there's going to be some opposition. When you're trying to help somebody get right with God, there's going to be some opposition. That word opposition means the act of opposing, resisting, or combating. And all of us will face opposition from the devil. All of us will face opposition when the Lord has plans for us. Even Apostle Paul, in all of his greatness, as we look at him, he faced opposition from Satan. I look what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 18. The Bible says this, and this is Apostle Paul now. The Bible says in verse number 18, Paul's talking to the church, and Paul says in verse number 18, Paul says this, "Wherefore, We would, man, I'm telling you now, we would have come unto you, even our Paul, once and again. But what happened, Paul? But Satan hindered us. That word hindered means to impede. It means to detain, to impede one's course by cutting off his way. Paul said, man, we would have came sooner, but Satan was hindering us. Satan was impeding our progress. I'm reminded at this very moment, that day when I decided I needed to get my heart right with God, and I was going to church to worship because I hadn't been there in a long time back in 1989. And I remember driving to that church, and I remember pulling up in the parking lot, and I remember seeing all the cars and the folks walking inside and looked at what I had on and Satan began to tell me, hey, you ain't dressed right. You ain't looking right to go up in there. And I remember driving around that church, not just one time, not just two times, but three times, and then I headed back to the house. What was happening? There was opposition. Joelene, who was the one that God used to ultimately get us to the church, she remembers as on her way to the church, I bet all of a sudden she pulled off, and I can't remember exactly how it took place, but she pulled off into the parking lot, and as she sat there, she was debating whether or not to go to the church. I would talk to Dr. Talbot Moore. She was battling in her mind, and God helped her to get to that church, and because she got to that church, it changed our whole family. It changed our destination, because my friends, soon afterwards, I went to that church and I got my heart right with God. And the rest, my friends, is still being written today. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! But there's going to be opposition. And matter of fact, it'll be opposition oftentimes from those who are the closest to you. Those who might share your DNA. Those who might share the same last name. Those who might be neighbors right next door. Or even those who sit on the same pew or vicinity that you're sitting in the house of God. There will be opposition. How will we respond to this opposition? We know what's happened here, going back over to 2 Samuel. We know what's happened. King Saul has been killed, or taken his own life, rather. His boys, they're dead. Judah has now made David king. But the Bible said in verse 8, but in spite of King Saul being dead, in spite of Jonathan being dead, the Bible said in verse 8, but Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Isbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim and made him king. Opposition from Abner. Why? What's up? Well, the first thing we find out about Abner, number one, David's opposed by Abner, and the first thing we see under that is Abner was a relative of King Saul. Go with me to 1 Samuel 14 and verse number 50. You want to have a fight? Mess with somebody's family. Look what the Bible says. And 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse number 50. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 14 verse 50, and the name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz, and the name of the captain of his host, the one in charge of his army, was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. He was a relative of Saul. Saul is dead. Jonathan and the other boys are dead. There's one son here, still alive. And this is Abner's relative. He said, we're going to make him king. We're going to put him in charge. And a lot of times in the family of God, we think sometimes at church it's like a monarchy, passing down from one family member to the next, you know. Well, my daddy was the chairman of the deacon, so, you know, I'm a deacon, so now I should be the chairman of the deacon. Well, my daddy was the pastor, so now I should be a pastor. We're passing this thing on. Well, number one, we need to consult with God on which direction to go. Abner did not talk to God. Abner did not seek God. Instead, Abner took upon himself to make his relative, Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, king. Because that's his blood. You know, we got blood got to stick together. We can't, you know, we got to thick or thin, wrong or right. That ain't Bible. Amen. If you're wrong, guess what? You're wrong, baby. And the Bible says that was his nephew. But on top of that, when you think about this, see, Abner knew David. It was Abner that brought David to Saul. Let me show you. Go back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 15. So it ain't like he was unaware of who he was. He was related to Saul. He brought David to Saul. Look at the Bible in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 55. The Bible says, and when Saul David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire, thou whose son the stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, talking about Goliath, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. See, Saul had an interaction with David. At this point, he's bringing David to Saul. But it was not always a great interaction. What you talking about now, preacher? Go to 1 Samuel 26, verse 13. He had been humiliated by David. 1 Samuel 23 and verse number 13. 26 and verse number 13. Anytime somebody gets humiliated, they don't make them happy people. Look, the Bible says in chapter 26 and verse number 13, and this is when David had been down there in Saul's camp and things of that nature. He said in verse 13, then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of a hill afar off, a great space between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, who art thou that criest to the king? And David said to Abner, art not thou a valiant man? And who was like thee in Israel? Wherefore, I got a question for you, Abner. Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord, the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king, thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. Watch this, y'all. Watch this. As the Lord liveth, talking to Abner, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water that was at his boister. And Saul knew David's voice and said, oh my, is this thy voice, my son David? What's happened? David had slipped into the camp, if y'all remember. And while Saul was laying there in the middle and the men were around him, he had gathered some things that belonged to Saul. He could have killed Saul. He could have took Saul's life. And Abner had the responsibility of making sure the king was kept safe. This, no doubt, humiliated Abner. He said, Abner, you ain't taking care of the king. You're not doing your job. You're not fulfilling your responsibility. By the way, if you work on a job and somebody's not doing their job, and you tell them they ain't doing their job in front of everybody, you just made yourself an enemy. They said, that's fine. I'll get you back. Huh? I don't get even with you. You don't say it's in front of everybody. At least pull me to the side. But in front of everybody, he said this. And this, no doubt, humiliated Abner. But then we see something else. When we see now, going back over to chapter number 2, we see, my friends, in 2 Samuel 2, that, and this might be the reason, because he was humiliated, he rejected David as king. Because the Bible says, when Judah anoints him king, the Bible says, verse number 8, but Abner, he takes the son of Saul and makes him king, even though he knew that David was God's choice. How do you know that, preacher? Let's fast forward for a moment. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 9. We got an argument about to take place. Abner and Saul's boy got a problem because Abner decides that he's going to take one of the concubines that belongs to King Saul. Ishbosheth said, whoa, whoa, what you doing, bro? This ain't right. What you doing here? But Abner says this, watch. Now, we're going to come this later on down the road, but I want y'all to see this, verse number 9. In 2 Samuel 3, verse 9. So do God to Abner and more also, except, watch this, y'all. This is Abner talking. As the Lord have sworn to David, even so I do to him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba. But he says right here, so do God to me as the Lord, verse 9, as the Lord have sworn to David, even so I do to him. He knew that David was God's choice. He was also there when Saul himself had said that David would be in charge. But, my friends, it didn't matter to Abner whose choice God had. He said, no, I'm rejecting him as the king. I'm going to set somebody else up. You know what, my dear friends? A lot of times God may come by and tell us, I've got something for you to do. And then there'll be folks that rise up and they'll oppose you. I remember when Billy's been preaching now for 20 years, but he's been in full-time ministry, how many? 32. For 32 years. But when he decided to go out there and begin to evangelize and tell people about Jesus on a full-time regular basis, everybody, all of his friends, all of his family, everybody rejoiced, and they were so happy. No. Then some of them say you was going to starve to death. That boy ain't starved to death. What are you doing? Are you trying to get your name out there? Are you trying to be a big shot? I'm just trying to do what God says to do. See, I remember before. See, a lot of times folks don't know what happens behind the scenes. Before Billy had surrendered, I remember him sitting at the house, and after he was called a preacher, I told him, I said, Billy, I can see you doing this, serving God on a regular basis full time. You know, preaching, singing, all this. And Billy looked at me like I was crazy. He working over here at the mill, you know. But God tapped, tugged, nudged, called him. But everybody wasn't happy. A person surrenders to preach the word of God, and you would think, woo, glory! Mm-mm. Everybody ain't saying glory. You sure God called you? What are you talking about? You ain't all that in a bag of chips. Amen. I mean, come on. I know you. I know what's happening in your life, man. It's amazing how God says that he takes things. Let's look at it. Go to 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians. I want to show y'all this. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, I believe it is. Or second one of them. We're going to go over here. 1 Corinthians, I believe it is. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look what the Bible says here about this call. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 18. The Bible says this in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish wonderful. Oh, I'm sorry. Foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. Drop down to verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Watch it, y'all. Watch it. Now here come. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh. No. Not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So before you and I get a big head, he says we're the foolish things he's chosen. Oh, it blows a person's mind. No, not them. Yeah, them. Surely he would tap somebody else. No, he tapped them. And my friends, whatever you decide to do for God, there's going to be opposition. You decide I'm going to sing, there's going to be opposition. I'm going to start going to church more regularly. There's going to be opposition. It's going to rise up from unexpected sources, unexpected areas, but it shall arise. But it's going to come. Flip back over with me. Abner refused David as king, even though he knew that David was God's choice. Instead, he went the world's way. The world's way was when the king died, then his son took over. That was just a natural process. And that's the route that Abner wanted to take. Flip back over. 2 Samuel chapter 2. The Bible says this in verse 10. And Isbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and reigned 2 years, but the house of Judah followed David. You may have those who oppose you, but secondly, you'll have those who will accept you. He was accepted by Judah and later all of Israel, but right now he's only accepted by Judah. And my dear friends, when you and I are serving God, there will be some people who will embrace you, but there will be many who will oppose you. And by the way, a lot of times what God has called you to do might not be fulfilled at that very moment, but it may come over a process of time. So then that leads to the third thing. I know it's a cuss word, but leads to the third thing was David's continued patience. I know it's a bad word in church, patience. I'm just kidding, y'all. But y'all, we had more patience. Oh, no, I don't want no patience. Don't give me no patience, Lord. Y'all know what patience is. Let me show you what the word patience means. Go with me to James chapter 1 and verse 2. James chapter 1 and verse number 2. Look what the Bible says about patience. This is a good word. It should be a word that we are to embrace. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy. Hallelujah. Somebody said the blessings are coming. When you fall into diverse temptations. That means various temptations, surrounded by all types of adversity and trial. Why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. What is patience? The word patience here in this verse means endurance. Endurance. It means not quitting. It means not giving in. But so often, man, I quit. Oh, Lord. Come on, where's our stamina? We've got something called the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of us. Where's our strength? It's in God. Listen, let me show you another one. Look at James chapter 5 and verse number 11. Watch this, y'all. James 5, verse 11. James says, behold. This is crazy how you put these words in the same verse. We count them what? Happy. Which what? Endure. Oh, he says, you have heard of the patience of who? That word patience again means endurance. And then he adds, and have seen, glory to God, the end of the Lord. You've seen the conclusion? What you talking about, preacher? The man lost all of his children. He lost his livelihood. He lost his physical health. His wife said, curse God and just die, man. But instead, he said, yea, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. His friends came by, and they sat with him for a while. Poor Job. They finally said, well, you know, Randall, you must have done something to be going through what you're going through. What you need to do is repent and confess to God. Then he's like, I hadn't done nothing. I'm telling you, I'm good. Well, see, that's because you got self-righteousness. I mean, them boys, these are his friends. And that same Job, you had to have done something. I mean, as soon as something bad happens to us, the person says, oh, you get this something, what you do? What you do? What you do? And you go, I hadn't done nothing. We must have done something. And they are accusing him and attacking him. But the Bible says he still had endurance. He never cussed God. Oh, he wished he was dead. He wished he had never been born. But he had endurance. And guess what happened? He got double for his trouble. He got double, twice what he had before, my friends, because he endured. He had stamina. He did not quit. And my dear friends, you and I can't afford to quit. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Amen.
We need some stamina. Some endurance when we are opposed from the enemy, opposed from our own flesh. Said, God, give me some strength to keep going because I'm going to get attacked. And sometimes my biggest critic lives on the inside of me. He looks. We look at ourselves, man, I ain't worthy, and we're not. But that ain't why he came by. It's one song, somebody, he seen the best in me. He seen what we can't see. God died for us while we was yet sinners. Before you was born, he died on the cross for your sins. But I've messed up. God said, let me give you a hand up. But I've blown it. That's all right. Come on back. Let's start over. Oh, but they're going to say this and they're going to say that. Don't worry about what they say. Serve God. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. We serve a living God, a breathing God. David's going to be king over everything. But you're going to have some patience first. In the midst of opposition. By the way, when his own son turns on him, David's not going to retaliate. David says, you know what? Rather than fight you, boy, son, I'm going to leave. David, that's your old place. Son comes in. Now I'm in charge. And when his son, hair, is caught in that tree, he loses his head while the folks are rejoicing. Because to them, David's enemy has been slain. David weeps. Wait a minute, David. He was coming at you. He opposed you, David. Your own flesh and blood. He has your DNA running through his veins. But David wept. David didn't rejoice when those who opposed him or attacked him faltered or failed. Instead, David would weep. The more I read about him, the more I'm starting to grasp that David was a man after God's own heart. You know, we have a God that loves us in spite of opposition. He wants us to be patient, to have endurance, because we shall reap. I was there in West Virginia. I'm done. I was there in West Virginia, and one night I was laying there in the bed sleeping, and I heard a police siren fly by. We're talking about Flatwoods, West Virginia. And I was staying in Braxton County, and we ain't near Charleston. And I heard another one fly by. I was like, man, I said, guess some, maybe it's a fire somewhere, or somebody probably had an accident or something, you know. Now, pause. In the church service that night, there was a young boy there. He's 14. And his sister there. And they were in the camp that I was at last year. As a matter of fact, he was actually in my room. I had him as one of I was a chaperone over him. And he even left early from camp. He has all kind of stuff going on in his life. He got me to the side one night. And he said, I want to talk to you for a minute. I said, sure. He's 14 years old. He says, I feel like I could talk to you. Maybe you could help me. He said, but, you know, I've been smoking marijuana and stuff and drinking and stuff. He said, but now I was at a friend's house and they had this clear plastic thing. It's like it's a pipe. Some stuff in there. They want me to try it. And so I tried it. And so now I'm kind of, I'm on that now. He said, I want to quit, but then I don't want to quit. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And I'm thinking to myself, he's 14. He's a big boy, but he's 14 years old. In that area, they're battling not just with cocaine and stuff. They're battling with meth and all this stuff is what they're battling with. And I talked to him. His little sister was there. I remember her at camp. She's talking to me and stuff, you know, and she's, you know, got all these questions and stuff. She's just a little girl. And of course, they had to go home. They took him home. Now, fast forward. All these police sirens going by. That morning, I get up, and I was talking to the guy I was staying with, Steve, at his house. And he said, I didn't say anything to you last night. He said, but did you hear all those police sirens and stuff going by last night? I said, yeah, I heard all that stuff. He said, well, you know the kids at the church you were talking to the other night? I said, yeah. So that was their father. He had those police on a high-speed chase. He's involved in all kinds of stuff, drugs and everything. His picture was in the paper that day, you know, fleeing and all that kind of stuff. And of course, they arrested him and all this stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, I can imagine going to the newspaper and on the front page, there's my father leading the police on a high-speed chase because of the substances that was in his body. But then thinking to myself at the same time, his son is falling right behind him. And overall, I mean, if you talk to him, he's a good kid, but he's got all kind of stuff he's battling with. The enemy opposes him. The enemy don't want him to go to the house of God to worship. The enemy don't want his life to change. But I'm thankful that there's some folks at that church that will get in their van and go by and pick that boy up. I was so happy to see him the other day because last year in June, when I last saw him, what he was talking about was ending his life. He didn't want to live. And he's already attempted to kill himself several different times. He's 14 years old. The enemy opposes him. God wants to use him. My friends, God wants to use us. The enemy opposes us. The enemy does not want us to be victorious. And one of the worst things we can do is to attack another brother or sister who is being opposed by the enemy. Don't shoot at each other. Mm-mm. Instead, say, brother, sister, let me help you. Let me encourage you. But by the grace of God, I could be in the same boat. Or, you know what? I was in the same boat. But God helped me to switch boats. Let's not oppose each other. But let's fight for one another. Amen. David's patient. He's going to be king over all of Israel. Right now it's just Judah. He's facing some opposition. But even that one who's opposing him right now, we're going to see later on, decides to switch sides. God knows how to change others' minds. But one thing he wants us to do is to be faithful. In the midst of opposition. Let me give you two questions. We're done. First question is this. How are we responding to opposition? How are we responding to opposition? The second question is this. Now, I know it's going to be a tough one. Do we need patience or endurance until we receive victory? Do we need patience or endurance until we receive victory? The last one's a simple statement. Let's ask God for his wisdom and his endurance. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. And I've done my best to give out the message that you laid upon my mind and my heart to deliver to the precious souls that have gathered in this building, this place of worship this morning. Now I pray, God, that as we've sung the songs, we've heard the sermon, that we would now respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit, not my voice, but the voice of the Holy Spirit. And Father, if you are drawing someone to come pray, if you're touching someone or tapping someone, nudging someone to come pray and talk to you about what's on their minds, what's on their hearts, what you've been speaking to them about, whether it be today or it was previous to today, I pray, God, they come forward today. If they can't kneel, stand around the altar. But God, talk to you and address to you the need that's in their life. They might say, well, God knows what I need. Yeah. But he's also told us to ask. Father, I pray that they come today. And Lord, if there's one here today that's not sure of their salvation, they're standing with Christ, I pray, God, they come. Let us show them from the Word of God how to be sure that heaven is their final destination. That's it for now, Father. If I've left anything out, take care of that too. And also, Lord, they might need to come for other reasons. It had nothing to do with this message. They didn't talk about something else. I pray, God, they come. All right, that's it. In your son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.